Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We are starting episode number 12. Today is probably the most special episode that I could ever imagine recording. I have a very, very, very special guest today. Rick, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, Jason. Good thing. I'm glad we hooked up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So just to let the listeners know, there's a couple of reasons why this episode is so special. First off, you're a Texas hiker, so that is for sure a value. And then secondly, you know, us as hikers, I think we step on the trail, we take everything for granted. I know for me, like, I never imagined that something horrific could happen. And in your case, probably the most horrific thing that could ever happened to you. And for sure, this episode is going to end in a happy ending because you're here to talk about it. But you just had a normal hike, an everyday hike, a normal hiking trip, nothing special about it. And you found yourself out in the backcountry of Guadalupe Mountains, lost. Yeah, I think. With this episode, there is so much that our listeners can learn from it. And also just this experience that you had. So yeah, I'm so pumped about this episode. I think I was telling you before we started, you know, I never really got nervous on the previous 11 episodes, but man, I was preparing for this one. I'm nervous, you know, reading through the articles. And kind of like as you were going through this, all of us on the Guadalupe Mountain Facebook page, we were going through it too, you know, along with your family. And like, I was praying, I was refreshing the page to get the latest updates. And it was something again that I don't know that we would ever expect to happen to us, and it did. So yeah, so that's why, like, I'm so amped up about this episode. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time and kind of just walking us through this stuff.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything I can do that might help someone.
Yes, sir. So before we get into that trip, let's kind of take a step back. How long have you been hiking and backpacking?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it after you contacted me, and I actually started doing, I don't know if you consider it really hiking or not. Mm-hmm. My family, when I was young, we moved to a small town in the Panhandle, and I became lifelong friends for over 60 years now with a guy there in Canadian, and he used to hike to what we call the Mesa south of town. And it was anywhere from 4 to 7 miles. You could go out as far as 7 miles. But we did that quite frequently when we were younger in elementary school. And then, of course, as you get older, we got jobs early on. As soon as we were 14, we could get a driver's license and you start working. And so you do it less frequently. But so it kind of fell by the wayside. And then at the end of my college career, a couple of guys that I knew from the Baptist Student Union invited me to go to a church camp, Piceno Baptist Encampment, located between Marfa and Alpine. Oh, wow. I'd never been out to West Texas before. And just driving out there, I was in total amazement that there were actually mountains in Texas. I had no clue. Since I'd never been out there.
Yeah.
And so it was just amazing. I loved it. The altitude, the dry air is cooler, of course, in the summer. So in the afternoons, we had free time and we would hike. We would go up to Twin Sisters, a couple of peaks that shoulder together called Twin Sisters, by Sano Peak and just around the encampment. And then at the end of that, this was This was in the early August is when they did the camp. And at the end of the time at the camp, a friend that I met there from the same community these guys that I'm from wanted to go climb Guadalupe Peak. And I thought they couldn't go for some reason. And so I said, well, I can go. I'd love to do that. And so that was my first real hike other than there around the encampment or hiking to the mesas in Canadian in my little town in the Panhandle was to climb Guadalupe Peak. And at the time I was in really good shape. It was wonderful. I loved the view. It was just fantastic. It was a hard hike, but nothing unusual, of course, as a young person in my early 20s. So then the next summer did the same thing. And then the summer after that was the last time that we went to Pocono together. And I wanted to go to Big Bend, and so I convinced one of the guys to go to Big Bend. We got there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and decided to do the South Rim. And that is really the only time I can remember ever backpacking in and spending the night on a hike. I've always been a day hiker.
Yeah.
So, and it was during the monsoon season, of course, and we got into some rain and fog and didn't see much of the South Rim at all. And we got very wet and it was pretty uncomfortable, but hiking, and I loved every minute of it. So that was kind of my introduction. It was kind of hit and miss after that. I know I took my wife before we were married, had an opportunity. We were teaching with a lady whose family owned the land in the loop between Alpine, Marfa, and Fort Davis. And Mount Livermore was actually on their land.
And no so way.
Yes, privately owned land. I think it's called Mount Baldy now.
Yeah.
And so we got the opportunity to go there and hike Mount Livermore.
Are you kidding? So,
yeah, that was really special. I don't know if that ever happens anymore these days. So, yeah. And then my wife-to-be and I, we weren't engaged at the time, just dating. But the next day, then we drove to Big Bend again. And I remember we did the Lost Mine Trail. And so, you know, hiking tried to make it a part of our lives from early on. Although, you know, you get married, you start having kids, you have a career, and we still went camping a lot, quite a bit. Every summer we tried to do one camping trip, and I know we did at least one summer in Big Bend. One summer we went to Garner State Park and Lost Maples and did some hiking there. We went to Tyler State Park one time in the fall when we were living in Dallas and hiked there. And then I took my two older kids. Caleb was too young, the youngest. And so I took the two older kids, and I think one of them was an early teenager, and the other one was a preteen. And this was too much of a hike for them. And really, for me at the time, I was not in good shape. But we drove up to Guadalupe, I think, from Davis Mountain State Park.
Yeah.
And we did Hunter Peak and the Bowl. We actually hiked around the Bowl. And it was too much. We made it, but it was too much. It was not that enjoyable because it was too hard.
I think that's too much for me too. So I want to show you something real quick. So you were talking about Mount Baldy Livermore. These are all my peaks that I've done. And at the bottom, I think that was the last peak of the 10 highest peaks in Texas for me to do. And I think I ended up bagging it last year, but it was funny that you mentioned that, but I had the peak sign for it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really special. That's something.
Man, it took me about 7 years. You know, and it was kind of funny. I don't know about you, but like I'm in my 50s and I have to have a challenge. Like I have to constantly have something that I'm going for. And my wife definitely is not going to let me go up to Guadalupe Mountains and like do the quad by myself or, you know, Pratt by myself. So, you know, you start to kind of have friends and we would show up and, you know, they wouldn't be in shape or, you know, their experience was probably a little bit less to be desired. And so it just, you know, we had to call many trips and stuff. And then I met a guy from New Mexico at Guad. And then, of course, the guy that I hike and climb with now, Henning, I met him at the climbing gym and like, you know, he's, the navigation is his part. Sam did most of the PCT, the gentleman in New Mexico. So I have like the group where I can go and do some of these things, yeah. And, which allowed me to kind of complete some of these things.
You have a team.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I booked the trips. I planned the hikes and I just sent out the invite. And then we all, like Henning and I, will ride together. Sam will drive in from New Mexico and we'll knock these things out. So talking about like the length that you've been hiking and not so much backpacking, but like you said, the hiking and stuff, like what inspired you? Like, is it getting outdoors? Is it stress relief? Like,
I really enjoy being outdoors. I enjoy the challenge. You know, I like to consider myself a former athlete. I'm not much of an athlete at my age. I'll be 72 next month, but you know, I played sports in high school and college, and I just like to be physically active and get tired of just going to the gym day after day. And so it gives me a goal to work for. I think it helps keep me a little more focused and a little bit more on task and a little better shape, because I want to drive myself so that I can do that next challenge.
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah.
And so let's just talk about the last 5 or 10 years. Do you find yourself mainly hiking solo? Do you have like a group of friends? Is it with family?
Yeah. You know, the only, my friend, my lifelong friend that I mentioned that I met when I moved to Canadian, and we met at the age of 9 at church back in 1980, I think it's the summer of 1980. We have always stayed in touch to one degree or another.
Right.
And I was living in Amarillo at the time, and I think he was in Abilene, living in Abilene at the time. And we started talking, and I called him and asked him if he had some time that he could come up and we could go climb Wheeler Peak in New Mexico. And so we did that hike, summited Wheeler Peak, but that was the first time I'd hiked in a really long time. And then I didn't hike again for a long time, other than with the kids on, mm-hmm. on camping trips. And then, my friend, his name is Richard, he had moved to the Philippines. He retired and had moved to the Philippines, and he you have to leave the Philippines for, I can't remember if it's 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks every year to renew your visa to come back in and stay for another year. So he decided he'd come home after his first period of time in the Philippines. And while he was here, COVID hit. And so he was stuck here for a good while, and he called me. And we were talking, and he said, "Look, I'm bored to death. Why don't we go hiking?" And I said, "That is a great idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that years ago. You know, I've just been stuck in a rut, taking care of the house and the yard." So we planned it just on the spur of the moment, drove to Big Bend and hiked Lost Mine Trail. A funny story. I went up in some really old Merrells that I probably bought back sometime in the mid 80s. So early 90s, at least they were that old. Checked them out, and they looked like they were in okay shape. And so I started, and we got about probably 3/4 to the end of Lost Mine Trail, and the soles started separating. On one of the shoes, the glue release. I'll just step lightly and carefully, and maybe they'll be okay. Well, they weren't okay. Then the other shoe started coming loose. And so about, I don't know, probably had a mile or maybe a little less to go. And I was barefoot. And so Richard hiked on back down to the parking lot and caught up my street shoes for us to wear down. My feet were so sore. We just drove home after that. But that was my reintroduction to hiking. And then he and I went back to Big Bend, and we did a series of desert hikes in the wintertime. And then my boys said, "Hey, that would be a good activity for us to do." So over the long Labor Day weekend, and 3 years ago, I guess, they said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to do Wheeler Peak again while I still can." And so we did. It was hard. We did the loop. You go up Wheeler Peak and then across to Bull Mountain.
Yep.
I think that's what it is. And so it was a really long hike for me. It was tough, but we made it. And so then I thought, got a little bit too good for my own, you know, my own self, and convinced Richard to let's bag the highest peak in Arizona now. And so we drove over, and Richard's always up for a road trip, if nothing else.
Right.
And so we drove over and did Sedona for one afternoon, and then just kind of touristing around. And so I did Humphreys Peak. He didn't make it all the way. He made it, I think, to 12,000 feet and stopped and turned around and went back down. But I did make it all the way up. And wow. Then after that, I had some failures. I didn't make it up Wheeler Peak in Nevada. I also would try to do a 14er the year after that, me and the boys. And it was really, really windy. It was not forecast to be windy, but it was.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't up for it. So I didn't make that one either. Tried to do Sierra Blanca one time, even though I know you're not supposed to without permission from the tribal authority, but I didn't make it. I made it up to the peak below that Lone Mountain, or I'm not sure what it's called now. So I realized I am mortal. I am getting older and I need to scale it back. And so at that point, I continued to do solo hikes. I've done the South Rim a lot. That's my favorite hike in Texas, is the South Rim. Probably anywhere. I just love the South Rim.
Yeah.
Challenging, the view's beautiful. So I really like that.
So speaking of talking about planned trips and then not meeting the goals, do you have issues when, like, I don't know, the weather doesn't cooperate or you just don't feel it just saying, okay, we'll turn back?
No. I mean, it's hard. I have to swallow my pride a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you reach a point, or I do, where I'm not, it's not going to happen today.
Yeah.
So, I just wasn't rested well for the Sierra Blanca try. The one in Colorado, I don't know. When I hit 70, 69 or 70, you think you start, your physical ability begins to decline at really at 60, but I worked hard enough to stay in pretty decent shape. But when I hit 69 or 70, it's a noticeable decline in your ability, regardless of how much I work out, how hard I try. I have to be responsible and reasonable.
Yeah, and I think for us hikers, that's probably the most important thing, is it's okay to turn around. It's okay to stop. It's okay to, fight another day. And you hear so many stories, people hiking the AT where they should have probably stopped or turned around and something happens. So it's always interesting talking to experienced hikers like yourself, because, like, I know for me, my pride gets in the way sometimes, and I probably should have turned around, and maybe sometimes I don't.
Also find it's easier for me to turn around on an out and back for some reason.
Right.
If I'm on a loop, I just, if I don't know exactly where I am, is it closer to return or closer to, how much elevation gain is there one way versus the other? And it's a little bit more of it's a more difficult decision for me on a loop than it is on an out and back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's say you get two choices. You get a state park and a national park. What are your favorite Texas state park and favorite Texas national park?
As far as hiking is concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though it's limited in the trails that are available, I probably would pick, at this point, given, my physical capabilities, I would pick Lost Maples as my favorite state park. I haven't been back to Davis Mountain State Park, actually, since I've gotten older. I don't know. That one might be in there pretty close also.
But, Lost Maples, if you go out to Campsite H on the very west side, it's a hard hike. It's no joke.
Yeah, no.
Like, I
did that just a couple of weeks ago. I did the East Trail and up to that outer loop.
Yeah.
And then I came back the short way. I didn't come back by the West Trail. It got a little bit warm, and I decided I better take the safe route back and take the short route back from the birding area where all the birders and the picnic area is. But yeah, it's really pretty. I like it there.
Yeah, so my wife will backpack with me, and that was our first backpacking trip. She'll only do one night. Like, there's rules that she has. It's this many miles, and it's only one night. And So that was our first backpacking trip we did together. So it's kind of special for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you already said it, but so what is your favorite trail in Texas and why?
I've not tried to go back up Guadalupe Peak. I wouldn't do that without one of my kids mm-hmm. or someone who's more capable than I am to go with. I think I could probably make it up, but not that interested. I've done it 4 or 5 times.
Right.
It has to be the South Rim. I just love the South Rim. It's a challenging hike. It's over 13 miles. If you do the Pinnacles to the Boot Canyon to the South Rim and back by Laguna Meadows. And so, you know, that's challenging. It's not a ton of elevation gain, but it's enough that you definitely get a good workout. And I just don't think the view can be beat.
I'm just going to say this before I forget. If you ever in your life need someone to hike with, just okay. shoot me a message. I will meet okay. you for sure and hike with you. I think you and your daughter did the Notch, right?
Yeah, we did. We went one time, and I think we only made it to the Grotto, and we went back a second time and made it all the way to the Notch. And I've been back a couple of times by myself as well.
And that's beautiful. When you pass it.
Yeah, it is. It is really beautiful. And you know, I always tell people the best bang for the buck, if you don't have a lot of time or you're not in great shape, is Lost Mine Trails.
Yeah.
Is Big Bend. Yeah, that's a really nice hike. Yeah, I just love all of it. So I just love being out. I get so excited getting up early in the morning, getting everything ready, taking off, driving to the trailhead and getting ready.
My problem is, you can see behind me, this is 1/4 of my hiking gear. And, you know, all my backpacks are, I have like 8 backpacks. So for me, I get excited waking up. Then I feel guilty that I'm taking this backpack over this backpack or this tent over this tent. So, and like for me, for my favorite trail, it's the El Capitan Trail at Guadalupe Mountains, the one that goes around.
Yeah, I've never done that one.
Oh, man. So it's not horribly physically tough. It is tough, but we went all the way out to Shumard, on the El Capitan Trail, and it's 100% overgrown, and you have some sections that it's probably 300-400 feet of exposure, and you can't see where your feet are being placed. And I don't know. I think I was telling Todd in the last episode, for me, that's the only trail in the park that destroyed me. And when we got to camp, and maybe because we started late, I was thinking that it was going to be an easy hike. It was mentally challenging. We got to Shumard at dark. And I told the guys, I said, I'm not hiking that trail back. I'm going to hike the 10 miles out to the highway, and then we're going to hitchhike, or I'm going to hitchhike. And we all, we all said, okay, yeah, we agree. We all went out to the highway. The William Ranch Creek Road dumped out onto the highway, past where, traffic would come in from Van Horn or from Dell City. Mm-hmm. So, the traffic's going by Guadalupe. And we got, probably after about 40 minutes, we got picked up. And kind of what was funny is I was messaging on the Guadalupe Facebook page, hey, does anybody give us a ride that's at the park? Because we were out of water and we still had 7 miles to hike on the highway. And, you got to go up the steep part. My trip here this past February in Guad, we met one of the rangers and we were talking about that. And she goes, that was you guys? And we were like, yeah. And she goes, oh, yeah, we saw that. We were like, what's going on? And I'm like, you guys didn't come out and try to help us? So, yeah, that's my absolutely favorite trail. So if you go back and kind of think about all your hiking experience, what is some of the most memorable times that you've been hiking?
Well, both times that I've been up Wheeler Peak in New Mexico have been special. One, because just the first time it was, the highest peak in New Mexico, that was a big deal to me at the time, and I'm still proud of that.
Yeah.
And then the second time, because I did it with my two sons, the Notch was important because it was with Katie, And I haven't done that much hiking with her.
Yeah.
But hopefully I will going forward a little bit. So we're going to, so
she's going to listen to this and she's going to get the key, the clue that she needs to start hiking with you more.
Yeah. And she knows that she's planning to, she's trying to get back in shape.
Yeah.
So, and Humphreys Peak, I guess, because it was difficult and it was a solo, I'm leaving out all the places I've been to the South Rim so many times. I've been up Guadalupe Peak, not recently, but in my 20s and 30s, quite a few times. And, you know, all the views are always spectacular there. So, yeah, I haven't been that many places, to be honest. It's like I'm kind of on repeat.
Yeah.
I just go back to the same places to some degree. Although my next hike is a trail I've never done before. So anyway, kids are kind of worry about me if I'm doing a new trail at this point. Hopefully, you know, they'll kind of get past that at some point. I'm being very careful about what I do, yeah. And I control myself and reel myself in when I need to.
Yeah, so. And like for me and the memorable hikes. I think I have two kind of buckets. One, anybody new that I take to Guadalupe Mountains because it means so much to me, and just to see their experience and their ooh and ah and also I think and above that is all the time. And so when my kids turned 16, they didn't have a choice; they were going to Guadalupe with me. I bought them a tent and backpack. They packed their clothes, they packed their food, and we did the hard hikes in the park. And it's kind of, for me, is like, you know, this is life. If you're not prepared, it's going to kick you in the teeth. And mm-hmm. and it was about that. And those are probably the most memorable. Like I have pictures, and a couple of the pictures I've turned into paintings with them standing, you know, with the sun in the background and stuff. It just, hiking with your kids, it's, you know, like, my kids don't understand it because they're still, you know, fairly young and they don't have any children, but you know, they'll get it one day, how meaningful will. That is.
Yeah.
So what and do you I think? Still,
I still want to, and I keep saying this and it needs to happen pretty soon. I want for at least one of my kids to go to the South Rim with me. None of them have ever been before.
Yeah.
Just because it's so special to be, I want to take them in.
You got to make that happen, man.
Yeah.
And so do you have any, so I have a, speaking of this, when I die, I'm going to be cremated, and I have already like 7 or 8 places that I loved hiking that my kids have to take me and put my ashes. And I know you're not supposed to sprinkle your ashes, but I don't care.
You can actually get permission in the national park. If they'll give you permission, you can do it.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize. Yeah, I checked it up because that's what I plan to do. And I actually wanted them scattered at the South Rim, but I'm not sure all three of them will be in shape to do that. So yeah. I told them, lost my trail.
Yeah. Oh, I have, you know, so the very first vacation I took my daughter and son on, I just had a divorce, was to New Mexico and the Rio Grande Gorge. So there's a little park right past the big bridge. And if you take 280 women steps from the dog poop sign and 32 steps towards the gorge, I built a little rock thing to put some of my ashes in. I think most of my ashes are going to be all over Guads. You know, there's so many special spots. I absolutely feel you on that. And you definitely have to make that happen.
Yeah, you know, sure. One place I haven't mentioned is Devil's Hall. I used to love to do Devil's Hall. I love the scrambling, the boulders, but I don't scramble so well anymore. Balance isn't that great. And so I haven't done that as an older person, but yeah, that used to be really, I mean, in my 20s, if you ask me what's your favorite hike, it'd probably be Devil's Hall.
Yeah.
I've always had that.
I'm a Smith Spring person.
That's it. That's usually if I'm going to do the Kittrick Canyon, because the gate doesn't open until 8, mm-hmm. I'll usually get out there at daylight and do Smith Springs. I love that.
Yeah.
Hiking. That's just an hour and a half hike, and then I can still be at McKittrick at the trailhead, just about the time the place opens. So,
yeah.
Yep.
So, for any of our listeners that are new to hiking and backpacking, what are some places that you think kind of like have the best views in your opinion, like kind of the most bang for your buck? And I think when I look back, that strikes me that not a lot of people know about it. You mentioned it before, Mount Livermore, but the Davis Mountain Preserves, like you get up and you don't really have to work a whole lot to get some of these views, but like that place is spectacular. So what do you think are some of your favorite that, if someone was new to backpacking and hiking, that it's a must?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go beyond what we places we've already talked about, already mentioned Walkmine Trail, to me is the most bang for the buck in Texas.
Yeah.
Given the effort required to get there and the views that you see all the way, pretty much all the way up, well, after the first mile, once you get on top of the ridge. And Smith Springs is great. McKittrick Canyon to the Notch is an easy, pretty easy hike too, relatively, yeah, compared to a lot of the hikes we've been talking about. I like the Window. You have to do a little scramble there, so I don't go all the way anymore. But
yeah,
that's a fantastic view looking out the window at the desert floor below. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I love the trail where I got lost. It's a those are beautiful views. Still planning to go back there with the kids and hike that in the fall. I have to do that, but.
I was there 2 weeks after that incident happened, and we were seeing mountain lion tracks, and I was like, oh man.
That's what I learned after I was rescued, is they said there's a lot of mountain lions in that area, because it's not hiked very frequently. There aren't very many hikers out there, and so they feel safe.
Yeah.
So, as far as I know, I heard noises a few times at night, but nothing ever got very close to me, I don't think. So, yeah, that was kind of scary after the fact.
So, do you have, I have a big one, and I'll give an example, but do you have any, kind of common misconceptions about hiking in Texas that you always feel like you have to debunk? And like, for me, it has to do with hiking in Texas, but also hiking in general, that, and I said it in the last episode, and I get a giggle from it, that, people think you have to have hiking boots. And I'm like, no, there's the only times that I've experienced where you would definitely benefit from a hiking boot is if you're in Big Bend or Guadalupe Mountains and you're off trail. But, everywhere else, a comfortable tennis shoe, a comfortable trail runner would work just fine. So do you have anything that kind of like, not bugs you, but like, you're like, oh, it's not true.
Or... Yeah. I agree with that. And when I was younger, I didn't even know they made hiking shoes back in the, in the 70s and early 80s. If we were going to be around cactus at all, we would wear work boots. And if we weren't, if the trail was pretty clear, we would just wear, tennis shoes, running shoes, whatever. So, I don't know. I see a lot of people that do backpack in and spend one or two or three nights or a week. And I just decided early on, I'd rather go light and go fast and cover more ground. And, if I camp out at the same place two or three nights, so be it. And I don't get back in the backcountry. So, I don't know if that's a myth or something to be debunked, but that's kind of my philosophy, why I've always been just a day hiker.
Yeah.
It does get hot for sure in Texas in the summer, and that may or may not, it bothers me more as I get older, but it didn't bother me when I was younger. So, but yeah, and you got to carry plenty of water, lots of water, yeah, especially in the summertime.
Yeah, my hiking season starts around the weekend after Labor Day, and it'll go up into no later than the end of May. And only in May I'll hike if I can catch some cool days where there, you know, a little cool front comes through. Mm-hmm. But I'm usually during the hiking season, if I'm not on a trip, every Sunday I'm on the Lone Star hiking trail. So if you ever want to through hike it, let me know.
Well, I don't know what that is, to be honest.
It's the longest trail in Texas.
Never heard of it.
It's 96.4 miles. Both endpoints are about an hour from my house. So, you know, you're familiar with where I live. So mm-hmm. not too far away. It starts in Richards, Texas, ends in Cleveland, Texas, around there, goes through Huntsville.
So through the Piney Woods?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Sam Houston National Forest, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I've never heard of it before.
No, absolutely. I try it. Well, the goal was to through hike it every year. I did it it had to have been before COVID hit in 2019. Then I was supposed to do it this past January and finish on the 29th on my birthday. And we had record rain, which of course everything was flooded, so I had to cancel it. But yeah, it's made up of 15 trailheads, so even if you just day hike it, you can really customize kind of what you want to do in the distances. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's probably got, out of the 96 miles, it has two campsites, like public campsites, and then it mm-hmm. has, I don't know, about 10 primitive campsites along the trail. So yeah, definitely have to check it out.
Is it relatively flat?
Oh, it's all flat. Yeah. I think it's funny, like there's a high point marker and it's like 400 feet or something like that. But yeah, you never know that you went up to it, and there's like a little ammo canister and you can sign it and stuff. So it's kind of funny.
My younger son and I hiked the highest point in Oklahoma, which is in the northwestern corner of the panhandle. It's a mesa. I don't know what the altitude is, but it's just a long, flat hike to the top of a mesa in northwestern Oklahoma in the panhandle. So that was kind of funny.
I saw somebody make a video of that, and they said, like, we're at, you know, 28,000 inches or so, you know, something like that, because you know, it's not high at all.
Yeah. Canadian, my little town in the panhandle is like 2,380 feet above sea level, but
yeah,
you know, it's not a tremendous amount of elevation gain anywhere because it's so flat. Land is so flat. But anyway. So
what are some of the, you know, as you were talking about, you're mainly kind of like the day hiker. What are some essential items that you don't leave home without? I think it's interesting to hear what people carry and like to carry, and especially for new hikers and backpackers. I think, you know, these types of questions are very important, because sometimes people carry stuff and you don't even like realize, like, wow, that actually is smart or something like that. So what are some of your essentials?
Well, it used to be almost nothing, just water, mainly water.
Yeah.
I mean, for a day hike, I don't eat very much. I'll take a couple of meal replacement bars, probably, maybe some peanut butter crackers, possibly, but just very little. I'll fill up a water bladder. Although this last time I went hiking at Lost Maples, instead of filling up a water bladder, I just put a bunch of 20-ounce water bottles in and carried those, mainly because I don't like to drink warm water. And so I froze a couple of them and it kept the others cool.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually a pretty good idea. But I have a walking stick. I didn't used to use one, but I do now. Just one walking stick, not two. So I have one hand free if I need to do a little bit of scrambling.
Yeah.
Of course, I have a cell phone. I do have my kid bought me a Garmin InReach Messenger. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not.
Absolutely fine. Yeah.
Yeah, to use, and I used it. I used it on this last hike, and it gave them, I think, a little peace of mind that they could follow me on the trail and see where I was, and that I was making progress and not stalled somewhere or stationary. So, you know, make sure you have a head covering. Always wear a long sleeve t-shirt. You know, that sort of thing. But, and usually I used to wear only shorts if at all possible. After my incident, I always wear long pants now in case I do get into some brambles or whatever. It's just safer. And I don't notice shorts versus long pants that much.
So is there any advice that you would give to new hikers and backpackers before they kind of take that plunge into our hobby?
I just would, you know, caution that you let someone, friends or relatives, know what your plans are, what trail you're planning to hike, what time, and a lot of this can be done with cell phone, although you do get into some areas where you don't have any coverage and a signal doesn't get out. But I would, you know, always let my family know what trail I'm taking, try to let them know what time I'm leaving. I'll send pictures a lot of times, but they may or may not get out. And just make sure that you know where you're going. Always carry a paper map in addition to having whatever map I have on my phone as well, just in case, you know. After what happened, I just, you know, you never know when you might have, you know, it might be handy just to pull out a paper map and look at it, and look at the trail. Might help you see, you know, what your options are if you do run into a situation.
I think you're absolutely 100% correct.
So I can't think of anything else offhand.
Okay.
To do.
Yeah. So having heard about all your adventures as a Texas hiker, now I kind of want to shift the focus to, I think, which is probably one of the most crucial aspects of our hobby, or our, I don't know, call it way of life, hiking, backpacking. And I think to experienced hikers, it's understood. I think sometimes we take it for granted. I think before the podcast started, we kind of talked about this. And a lot of times it goes unmentioned that anytime we step on the trail, something horrific can happen. And, you know, you should always be prepared for the worst case scenarios. And I think your story, I know for me, is probably one of the most invaluable stories that I've ever read or was watching unfold from afar. I think there's so much that we can all benefit from it. But, you know, just your situation, you know, you're out in the backcountry at the Guadalupe Mountains, and you find yourself lost. And it's, to me, probably, I don't know that I could think of something worse that could happen to us as hikers. And I'm going to try not to tear up. And as I told you before, I have my toilet paper ready. And, you know, I've, as preparing for this podcast, reading through the articles, reading through as your family members were posting on the Guad page as updates were happening, and I was praying and just preparing for this, it was hard for me to prepare. It's just putting myself in the situation, thinking about what you went through, thinking about what your family went through. It was tough. So kind of just to start this off, like, can you describe just kind of your initial preparations of this hike? It seemed like it was just kind of something normal that, you know, hey, you know, I'm heading out on a hike.
Yeah, I was looking for something that was doable, that, you know, was an achievable hike for me, that was something different, new, that I hadn't already done. And so I'd never been to the north end of Guadalupe, to the Dog Canyon trailhead before. And so at the very end of May, I decided that I would do two out and back trails, the Tejas Trail, which I think they recommended. This is on from the National Park Service trail map. Going to a hitching rail at a point on the trail and then returning. And then that was not going to be very, you know, that was like a half day hike maybe. And then returning the trailhead, and I did, and I had a bottle of Gatorade and had a snack and rested for 10 or 15 minutes. And then headed back out to the, I think it's the Blue Mountain. Is it the Blue Mountain Trail?
Mm-hmm.
Bush Mountain Trail. And went out to the, they recommended going to the Martha's Overlook. And so I found a saddle out on that trail. I assumed that was where I was. And there was also a sign that indicated a trail off to the east from the Bush Mountain Trail to go to the Marcus backcountry camping area. And anyway, so I went to that point and came back also. And it was a good day's hike. It's probably 11 or 12 miles, something like that. And decent elevation gain for someone my age. So it was a good day's hike, and I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and the views were really nice. And so then I started looking around. I downloaded a different app that had more trails on it, and they indicated on that app, and this was during the course of the summer, because that was way late for me to be hiking at the end of May and June 1st.
Especially out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I found it, and I'm like you, that late in the year, I have to catch a cooler day, and I did. And so the weather wasn't, it got a little bit warm in the late afternoon, but it wasn't too bad. So, but then I started looking around over the course of the summer, and then I found this Martha's Trail that connected the two, and you could turn it into a loop. And so I started planning that, and I thought it's a little bit further and a little bit more elevation gain, but not anything radical. So I just made up my mind that's what I was going to do.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.